All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. And I know I said that we would be talking about more resources and precious metals in the second hour, but we're going to dive a little bit into the resource sector here, but also comparing it to all of these recessionary fears that keep on popping up. And in all fairness, I talked about in the first couple segments of this first hour, I am chatting with Jeff Christian. He is the managing partner over at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, there seems to be a bit of a divide here between what the CPM Group is saying and even what I'm thinking regarding an upcoming recession and what some of the, let's call them gold bugs, are saying about this upcoming recession. We've heard it before from these gold bugs that, you know what, the financial system needs a reset, and we even hear about a potential of some gold-backed currency coming to dominate the world. But the fact of the matter is that hasn't happened yet. And while I think we can all agree that a recession could be on the horizon here, or is on the horizon, we need to explain or understand what that recession could look like. Can you please break down your thoughts of the potential recession that is on the horizon and what that means for the overall financial system?
Yeah, you know, let me throw out a couple catchphrases that might help put it all into perspective. Because, yeah, you get a little uncomfortable when all of a sudden you seem to be in the same camp as the doom and gloomers. One phrase is rational expectations. And, you know, I think what CPM Group's analysis tends to do is it looks at rational expectations. And those rational expectations are guided by the second catchphrase, which is probabilistic analyses. So if you look at where we are right now, we are 10 years into the longest economic expansion probably on record. We have a lot of economic and financial and political and social problems that could upset the apple cart. We probably will see a recession. You know, our view is maybe a short, shallow one in 2020 and a bigger one in 2023, 2024. But, you know, we will see a recession, or we'll see a series of recessions in the future. We'll see financial crises and stuff. But we don't expect this stuff to devolve into the end of the world. You know, there's a financial system that has actually survived for about 500-600 years. It's gone through cataclysms like the Great Depression and World War II and the Napoleonic Wars. But it's tended to survive those cataclysmic events and come back ever more stronger. And that's what happened in 2007, 2011. And that's probably what's going to happen in the future. So you have these people who are saying, okay, this is the bubble to end all bubbles, and the governments and the monetary system and the financial system cannot control this anymore. And it's all going to blow up, and the global financial system as we know it is going to collapse, and there's going to be chaos, and people are going to be eating their children. And we say, well, that's probably not going to happen. I mean, we could have a big recession. We could have a financial crisis. Things could get out of hand. But these guys have a lot of levers to pull to pull us out of there. And a lot of them, you know, have actually read history books. And they remember the French Revolution, and they remember World War II. And they understand that their futures and their careers and their necks really depend on papering things over and keeping bad situations from turning into real cataclysmic situations. So our view is, yeah, we will have financial problems, and you should own gold and silver as a portfolio diversifier and as a diversifier of your wealth and as a protection against currencies rising and falling and coming and going. But you shouldn't expect this to be the end of the world. And you shouldn't expect gold to go to $5,000 or $10,000 and stay there, because probabilistically, that's not going to happen. It hasn't happened over the last 400 or 500 years, and it's probably not going to happen this time either. So, you know, that's sort of where we're shaking out. We're telling people, yeah, things are tough, things are nasty, things are scary, but let's be realistic. You should have some gold and silver in your portfolio, and some of your wealth should be denominated in gold and silver, but it's not necessarily the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah, and you're not saying the gold can't go higher. It does look like gold could go higher, but it's some of these extreme valuations of gold at 10,000 or 100,000 that, you know what, are a bit excessive in terms of some of their bullishness. But really, this whole concept predicates on the ability of central banks to continue to either paper over problems or tinker with either interest rates or what have you, use the tools that they have in their toolbox. You know what, we are already in an environment of very low interest rates, and central banks have been printing a lot of money recently without getting any inflation. But that begs the question then, do the central banks still have a lot of power and still have the tools necessary or needed to actually keep the system afloat? It sounds like you think that they do.
I think they do. I think they have a tremendous amount of ammunition still. Those people who would say they're running out of bullets don't understand modern monetary systems, you know. I always get kind of confused when I see people like on the internet who clearly don't know as much about modern finance as central bank managers, but they're pontificating as if they know everything and the central bank managers don't know anything, you know. But let me take it back and give you a recent historical thing. In 2008, 2009, 2010, CPM Group was saying that we thought gold prices would rise to record levels, probably peak around 2010 or 2011, and then enter maybe a 3 to 5 year downward mark bear market before starting to rise again, right? And the gold bulls just made all kinds of fun out of the fact that we thought that the gold price would rise, but peak and then fall. Well, you know what? The price peaked in 2011. It fell for 5 years, and then it started rising again. But it's kind of been moving sideways since 2016. You know, and that's how markets behave. And gold and silver, like dollars and IBM shares, are markets, and they rise and they fall. And so, yeah, the price. And so what we've been saying for several years is we think that the prices will rise, that gold will probably rise to record levels, that silver could rise sharply, maybe not to record levels. But that then they'll come down again as things get papered over. And that's the way we view the world. And that's the way the world worked in 1979, 1980, when there were people saying that everything was going to collapse. That's the way the world worked in 2001, 2008, 2009, and it's probably the way it's going to act in 2020, 2023.
Yeah, that's fair. But one other question here, because, you know what, a lot of this weakness too, we've been seeing more globally. It started to creep into the U.S. data just a couple weeks ago, but what do you think about the overall health of China and the ability, if China goes through a severe collapse, let's say, or they go into a almost negative data scenario, that could pull down kind of the rest of the world, including the U.S., and hamper at least some of the ability of, say, the Fed to help out the U.S. economy?
That kind of problem in China could be devastating on a global basis, but it could be really devastating on a Chinese basis. And, you know, China's an interesting place. I've been spending a lot of time there the last decade or so. And China's a very interesting place because they had 400 years of revolutions and civil wars and occupation by Japan. And then the Chinese Communist Party took over and had a disastrous first 40 years of it all, or 20 or 30 years of it was disastrous before they you know, figured out some of the things they were doing wrong. And the Chinese government and Chinese leaders, I mean, their number one fear is that things go bad because they got like 1.4 billion people and they've brought about a billion of them into lower middle class, and these people are living better than they had thought possible for generations. And the Chinese Communist Party leadership says, we have to make sure that we continue to deliver for these people because if we don't, it's really nasty. It's nasty for us. It's heads on spikes. You know, it's a bullet to the head. But it's nasty for the Chinese people. It's nasty for the Chinese economy. And it's nasty for the world. And so I think the Chinese Communist Party will do everything in its power to avoid those sorts of really severe negative problems. And, you know, they are facing major problems, and the U.S. trade wars are exacerbating those problems. But they have a lot of levers to pull. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of people. So I'm less concerned about that happening in China. Again, it goes back to probabilities. It's a scenario that you can draw and you can talk about. But I think a more likely scenario for China is that you see, you know, continued economic problems as the economy grows, but that they avoid that kind of really severe cataclysmic event. Now, that said, you know, the trade wars are definitely not helping them.
Yeah, no, the trade wars are not helping this. And you know what? It's a tough scenario right now just because, quite frankly, we're just not getting any clarity when it comes to trade wars. But maybe at the end of these meetings, which we are recording this kind of while these meetings are going on, maybe we will see some positives. But just to recap here, you're not saying that there isn't a recession that looks likely on the horizon, and a recession is good for precious metals as people diversify into the safer assets, which we've already been seeing. But this recession isn't going to bring us back into, let's say, the Stone Age when it comes to the financial system.
Yeah, we don't expect to see a collapse of the modern economic system. We expect to see tough times. And, you know, as I said, you know, we think that we might see a shallow, short recession in 2020 papered over, and then a more serious recession and global financial crisis, similar to what we saw in 2008, 2009, 2010, and 11. But that could be like 2023, 2025. That's out there. But even then, you know, again, I mean, as scary as that was, we survived it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We came out the other side, and things, unfortunately, in a sense, kind of got worse in terms of the debt situation, but still, there is no actual drop-dead point for, let's say, debt or what's going on in the system. But hey, Jeff, it's great chatting with you. I always enjoy reading over what you and the rest of the CPM group is publishing, and I think it does provide a nice commentary balancing out from some of the, let's say, more gold bug-focused narrative with what's going on in the world and relating that to history. Jeff, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time in this first hour of our show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.